Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday Night Office Hours. We'll be here for a couple of hours answering all the questions, doing a little coaching, see who needs what. Let's make it situated here. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? If you would like to be coached, you can raise your hand. That's how we roll. I will call you in the order that I guess that your hands get raised because Zoom puts you in order for me. If you have questions, you can put them in the Q&A. Questions for me, you can put them in the Q&A. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat feature. Okay, I probably won't check the chat much. So let's get started. Lily Jackson. Whoa. Sorry about that. Lily Jackson, you're first. Wait a minute. Unmute. Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. So I'm actually on a walk with my son, but why I need your coaching today is I'm having a thought error. And okay. It occurred today.
Okay.
So I've been having, since I had my son and he's 2.5, I've been having, this side of the white line, buddy. I've been having a lot of heartburn. And I went and had an upper GI, lower GI, and they saw that I had a lot of esophagus problems. Uh-huh. So then they had a Bravo test where they put in your esophagus a little camera. And it came back fully positive and very abnormal. And that means that 4 out of 4 days I had esophageal heartburn and everything showing up. Now that sounds fine and good, that it sounds like I have something that I'm going to be working towards. But the problem is that the test, that, how they want to fix it is they want to do what's called the Lynx. The Lynx is a magnetic thing that goes around your esophagus. I go through a metal detector each day and my husband has a pacemaker. So having a magnet is a problem.
Uh-huh.
So the thought error I'm having is, yes, I have an answer to my problem, how to fix it. But at the same time, am I going to be putting my thoughts? Things to do. I'm cycling back and said, this is my fault. I did something. I've tried changing my food. I don't know what to do. How do I get out of this? I'm working myself up over a test and I don't even know what the next steps are.
Okay. So I'm going to recap because you broke up on us. Zoom takes a lot of bandwidth. And if you're just on your phone, like you're frozen right now. So here's what I think I heard. Your thought error is that you caused this. Is that right? And that, I'm not sure what else. You're spinning out based on the treatment plan that you've been given. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me why you caused this is a thought error. Oh, Lily, I'm afraid you're going to have to, oh, there she goes. All right. Hopefully she can come back. I think, Lily, you're going to have to get somewhere where you can be still for a few minutes. And if you'll raise your hand again, we'll come back to you. Cammy, I'm going to go ahead and take you real quick. While we wait for Lily to come back. Trying to unmute you. There you are. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Okay, so I'm back again. You helped me 2 weeks ago on the hunger scale.
Okay.
And so now I have another question.
Okay.
So for July, for the gift of fat month, I really wanted to be, I wanted to have a really good month. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be very motivated, which I have been. And then I hit a setback yesterday. So my setback was that my brain did not want to do any PMP stuff, nothing, all day long. And I fought it and fought it and fought it till about 2 o'clock, and then I just gave in. I had an overeat, ate a lot of snacky foods, mm-hmm. kind of went back to my old ways for mm-hmm. that afternoon. Supper was okay. Did have bread with supper that I probably would not have had with on my plan. I didn't make a plan yesterday was the other thing that I did not do, which I have not. That's the first time I've not done that in a long time. Today I'm back on track, doing well today. But yesterday is still really bothering me, and I'm trying to figure out why. What happened and why did that? So the next time, if that comes about, it doesn't happen again.
Okay. So tell me why yesterday is bothering you. Let's start there.
Oh, well, I can tell you that I really wanted July to be a perfect month.
Oh, okay. That's issue number one. We wanted everything to be perfect, and it wasn't. Yes. So I have ruined the whole experience, right?
Yes, and I'm trying to work through that today, but okay. I still have that thought process.
What if yesterday was supposed to happen?
The way it happened?
Well, okay, first of all, it happened. So you get to decide whether it was supposed to or not. But here, even more, let's talk about this. What did you learn from yesterday?
Well, that's what I'm still trying to figure out, because I'm trying to figure out why my brain went from being so motivated and wanting to do PMP stuff. I've done something, you know, mm-hmm. One of my goals for July was to do something PMP oriented every day, mm-hmm. whether it was listen to a past Zoom call or get on Facebook and mm-hmm. read a post or whatever. But I just my brain did not want that yesterday at all.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
All right. So what did, I mean, I'm going to go back and ask my question again.
Okay.
What did yesterday's experience teach you? Did you make a plan at all yesterday?
No.
Did you assess yesterday?
Today, yes.
Okay. So yes. Did you do a recovery worksheet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will do those tonight though.
So when you assessed yesterday, what did you learn?
I don't know. I learned that I didn't do it.
Okay. Brain,
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What if you're normal? Do you think, I mean, seriously, when did you start?
April.
April. Okay. So you're April, May, June, July. You're 3 months in.
Yes.
Today is the 24th, and it's the first bad day you've had all month.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I still have bad days. I bet everybody on this call has bad days now and then. Your job when you have a day like that is to go back and learn, find something to learn from it. Okay?
Okay.
So you didn't want to do anything PNP yesterday.
No.
Did you do anything for yourself at all yesterday?
I didn't do anything last night. I laid around and watched TV.
Did you take a shower?
Yeah, yesterday.
Did you go to work?
Yes.
Okay. So you did some things for yourself yesterday, right?
Yes, I did. Yes.
You just chose not to do anything PNP or weight loss related yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. You also used the word you fought going off plan.
I did.
What if you instead, when you had all those thoughts about, I don't want to do anything, what if you had said, I know I don't want to do anything. I didn't want to get up and go to work today either, but I got up and went to work. I didn't want to take a shower today, but you know what? I did that too. Some days are just going to be like this. Some days I'm just not going to feel like doing my stuff. But you know what? Because I have this goal in mind, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to make a realistic plan, not a chicken and broccoli plan, because I'm not feeling that today. y'all could be lucky to stay on the realistic plan today.
Mm-hmm.
What if you look back? Is any of that possible for yesterday?
Yeah, because I've done those before. I've had days like that before.
The problem is not the fact that you had an off-plan day. The problem is that you fought it. Okay, this is the concept of resisting versus allowing. Resisting and fighting against the urges to eat off plan and to just, totally rebel against the whole world versus, I'm crabby today. I have days like this and I suck today. Today just sucks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to throw in the towel. I just know I'm going to have days like this. That's allowing the stuff to be there and doing what you can to just close out the day, which is realistic planning, right?
Right. So then how do you do, what do you put on your plan then? I guess everything you want to eat that day?
That would be realistic, or meet yourself in the middle.
Okay.
I do a weekly plan. Okay, so I have downstairs, my husband is very kind of anal retentive. So when I make a plan for the week and I put it on the refrigerator and I say, hey, would you rather have Tuesday night's dinner tonight? And he'll point at the plan and he'll say, but the plan says such and such, right? So I have a little accountability there. But I can tell you some days I look at my plan for lunch and I'm like, man, I really don't want another whatever. Okay. But I sit there and tell myself that that's, I can either swap something out that's on the plan, or I just need to go ahead and suck it up and eat it, even though I don't want it, just because that's what I do. That's what I'm choosing to do because I kind of like my pant size now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And for you, it would be, I know that I'm not feeling this. I know I'm not feeling any of this, but I really want that pant size I'm shooting for. Or I like my pant size now. If you've lost, have you lost weight? How much weight have you lost?
Yeah, I've lost 20 pounds.
Okay, so you're down a pant size, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, at least one, probably. It seems to me like 10 or 15 pounds was a pant size for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just start that conversation and you stop fighting. You just understand, instead of fighting the urges, you say, there's the urges. I knew they were coming. Because they're always going to.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody today about donuts. Okay. She was having this huge urge for donuts. I mean, she said, I was fighting this urge for donuts. I'm like, girl, when I weighed my highest weight, I was a big donut eater. Okay. Publix donuts, Publix bakery down the street. They make their own donuts. My husband and I would go down there on a Saturday morning. We'd get a dozen. I'd pick six. He'd pick six. He'd have his. I'd have mine. I'd go through six donuts I'd just eat through them all day long. They'd be gone by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I don't want a donut now? I don't want six donuts now? No. Donuts sound really good. But I allow the urge to be there. I don't go, man, I don't ever get to eat donuts anymore. I'm just like, I used to really like those donuts, but I like this pant size better now.
Okay.
It's the total difference between resisting an urge and understanding the urges are going to be there. When she brought up those donuts today, I was like, yeah, I could put down some donuts. So as you look back at yesterday, instead of looking back at it with, well, I blew it, I wanted a perfect month, you can decide that it's still been a perfect month because you sat through that day. And you're looking back at it, you're doing recovery worksheet, right? Because you're going to do one of those.
Yes.
You've done your assessment. You've gotten on a coaching call about it. This is an opportunity to learn and catalog what I've learned for the next time this comes up. Because it's going to, I promise.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So on that thought too, with the all or nothing type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I have, what else can I do to work through that besides the urge, like the all or nothing thought process?
You mean if you make a mistake, it's just all done?
Yeah.
Like you tell yourself it's not. Okay. Mistakes are necessary. They're a necessary part of the process. I have to make these mistakes in order to figure myself out. I used to tell people, and I still do actually, you have to blow past plus two to figure out where it is.
That's true.
Okay. You have to test the boundaries to figure out where they are. You have to eat the wrong foods to figure out they don't agree with you. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, I love eggs. Telling you, I can't eat a lot of them. Because especially hard-boiled ones, they don't agree with me. You can imagine why, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to make those mistakes in order to learn how to streamline your path.
Okay.
So that's what you tell yourself. What that all or nothing thinking does for us is it gives us an excuse to quit. And you really don't want to quit or you wouldn't be here, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
You wouldn't be trying to figure out why mistakes, you know, make you shudder or whatever. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'm not good at making mistakes. I still have to do work around making mistakes in my food, in my work, and all that. But I know, you know, I use mistakes as feedback now, as, you know, what can I learn from this? I mean, when I get feedback from Corinne that is about a mistake, I used to get really upset. I used to get mad at her. I'd get mad at myself. And now I just look at it as, okay, feedback is an opportunity to learn. Okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again, right? Because I don't want to. If I don't want to make mistakes, then I need to understand that the mistakes that I make are okay and that I can learn from them so I don't make them again, mm-hmm. or try not to make them again.
The other thought that came to my mind is, so this weekend we were out of town, mm-hmm. and we were visiting family, mm-hmm. and so we had a cookout, and I brought my own food with me. I brought mm-hmm. a salad with me because I didn't know what they were serving and I wasn't sure I wanted to stay on plan. Mm-hmm. So I was very proud of myself for doing that because that was a big step in my process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then yesterday, one of the thoughts that came through my head, as well as the all or nothing, is that, well, you did really well on Saturday. You deserve to have a day mm-hmm. off. Plan. So I don't want that thought process going through my head because I've done that in the past with past diets and that's what's derailed me too.
Okay. So that thought is probably coming back too. That's a real common thought. I hear that a lot. Oh, you were so good. You deserve this carton of ice cream. You deserve this bag of chips. You've mm-hmm. been so good today. I have that thought sometimes. You've been so good. So instead of saying, I don't want to think that anymore, say, yeah, that thought's coming back. I'm going to be ready for it. Okay. See, your brain, your primal brain back here is the habit center. Mm-hmm. It's going to throw that crap at you all the time because it's a habit that you think it. If you've thought it before, if you've thought it throughout your life, it's not going to just stop because you've joined PMP. What we do is help you understand that that thought is going to come back and that you get to answer it with, appreciate your input, but no, I got this pant size in mind, see? And I don't, I'm not a dog. I don't deserve treats. I plan for them and I enjoy them.
Okay. You know?
And it's not a fight with that thought. It's just a, yep, there you are again.
See, that's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm fighting it. I feel like I'm putting my boxing gloves on and my armor on. And that's stressful. I was so mentally exhausted yesterday mm-hmm. because of that.
Well, the important thing to know is that those thoughts are going to come in, but you don't have to believe them. You don't have to give them any weight. You don't have to react to them. But they're not, I mean, they're not wrong. You know, it's not wrong to have them. You can't really judge what you're thinking. What that primal brain throws at you, you know, that habit source brain throws at you to get you to eat. You can't really judge it or fight it. You just go, oh yeah, there's that one again. That's a fun one. So I used to write them down. You know, I deserve, you know, I was good. I deserve to eat. And I'd go back sometimes and I'd read them and I'd think, I really tell myself some stuff. That's really interesting.
That's really a good idea though.
Uh-huh. Because in a sane moment when you're not stressed out about, you know, work or what you're thinking or whatever, you go back and read that stuff. It's pretty entertaining.
Okay. All right. That helps.
Yeah.
All right. I have some TDLs to do tonight.
Sounds good. Get
all
to
right,
work.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. See ya. Lily, are you back? Lily, I would like to talk to you, but I think you're gone. So maybe I hope she comes back. All right, Beth, you're up. Hello.
So I'm the one that emailed support earlier today.
Okay.
So I'll start with a little bit of background. I am a January baby.
Okay.
So really not a baby anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been working on my MBA and I just graduated on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have used that as I can't do all the work right now and I can't focus on that because I have all 30 hours of this plus a 50 plus hour a week job, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I really haven't done all the work that I would have liked to have done these past 7 months. So I have been doing 24-hour plans. I have been trying to do the four basics. I'm at consistently at least over 100 ounces of water a day. So I'm working through all those things. So that's great. However, it's the mental stuff that I keep coming up against. And what I did this morning in doing my assessment of yesterday was I thought I was on plan. I had a party on Saturday. I meal prepped because I had Chipotle bar left over. So I built all these meals out and I built what I thought was realistic plans. And then I noticed this morning when I went through it, that yesterday morning I casually grabbed a handful of M&Ms that were sitting in a bowl. I added tortilla chips to my burrito bowl at night because, well, that's part of the dish, right? So my burrito bowl, I noticed, was enormous when I poured it out on a plate from the container that it was in. And then, our local baker was so gracious to give me cake pops along with her cake because she just wanted to congratulate and celebrate me. So I hadn't had one of those yet. So I had one of those. But then when it came time for dessert with the family, I had another one of those on top of the dessert. And then we put the kids to bed and I thought, what a great time for chips and dip. So,
what a great day.
Really not following that plan.
No. So what did your assessment say? What did your recovery worksheet say?
So I just did the TDL. I did mm-hmm. not do a recovery worksheet. What okay. I can tell you about my day was, so I'm a manager. I work for the government, much like you did, in finance and accounting. And I'm responsible for accounts payable and have about 200 employees. And I ended my day having done an exercise accounting for all of my personnel, in which one of my supervisors left without doing his entire division. So I was running around trying to scrape this together at the last minute, right before I left for the day. So I know I ended my day higher stress levels than I would have liked. Mm-hmm. So I'm certain some of that played into that. So when I sat down to do my TDL to figure out, well, why, I said that because it tastes good. If I eat it all, it's gone, and then I won't want it.
And that's a good one. I used to use that one.
Because it's the Girl Scout cookie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I eat it all, then...
If I just eat the whole box, then they can't hurt me anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're hurting.
Yeah, they're gone. You're right. I won't want them anymore. I won't need them anymore.
I won't buy it again. But in reality, I do, and I buy more or something different, but repeat the cycle. When I was a kid, so thoughts that came up this morning was when I was a kid, my mom used to set limits to help me learn from her own diet struggles. So she was an avid Weight Watcher, Jenny Craiger, all of my growing up. Still to this day struggles and is trying to figure it out. And so there was a lot of secret eating because there were a lot of no's and a lot of this is what you can't have without a conceptual understanding behind it. and I just plain wanted it. So I ate it. So I was even recalling, I would walk home from high school, 2 miles, 2 miles of exercise. That's awesome. To stop at the pizzeria for a slice of pizza, the candy store to get some candy, the Chinese shop to get the almond cookies, and then to stop at another drugstore on my way out to get some candy bars for later. Mm-hmm. So this cycle, this thought pattern has been recurrent throughout my life. No drama about childhood, just I've noticed a pattern throughout my life of this is my eating spending cycle. Mm-hmm. I get to this philosophy where it's like, well, I haven't had cake in a while, so I have some cake. Well, I haven't had cookies in a while either. So then I just keep compounding. And what I recognized this morning was what could have been a handful of M&Ms and a cake pop for about 300 calories very quickly became more than 1,000 calories because it just snowballed.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to figure out is how, one, do I stop the cycle? Half the time I've already done it and I recognize it the next day. So I'm assuming it's fog eats, or it's, I don't want to face the truth to myself. And so I'm certain I'm lying and creating something that allows me to do this. So rather than sitting and spinning further, I just wanted to kind of pop on and get some coaching to figure out like where to focus my energy and start so that I'm not playing in my dirty diaper, trying to figure out, well, I could do this or I could do that.
Right.
Where should
have
I
have to do? You have to do recovery worksheets.
Okay.
You have to do them. Go ahead. I would go ahead. If this is your cycle, I'd go ahead and print 30 or 40 of them.
Okay.
I heard Corinne say the best thing the other day, and I meant to tell her. She said, put these recovery worksheets everywhere you have food. If your thing is chips, clip one with your chip clip to the chip bag.
Blank, not filled out.
We're not filled out, right. To remind you that you can have the chips, but you're going to do this recovery worksheet.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where you have to start. You have to start by not just seeing the patterns. You know, you told me all the things you ate all your life and everything. What you haven't told me is why you eat. What, and it doesn't matter, you know, why you ate as a kid was right. One thing. Why you're eating today is not because your mom was a Weight Watcher telling you what to eat, right? And it's not always the supervisor that skipped out of work and you had to clean up after.
Yeah.
Right? When you got home and you started eating, you might have had elevated cortisol, elevated stress or whatever, but it could have been something else too. You just won't know until you do the recovery worksheets. And the recovery worksheets not only help you assess the overeat in the moment that that happened, it helps you begin to plan for what you'll do the next time. And that is super important. We talk a lot about planning and visualization for a reason. Because your brain, when you plan and visualize, your brain doesn't know that you're not doing it. It's already practicing what's going to happen next time. So you have to start there. You have to start identifying the thoughts and the feelings that lead to the overeating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you said you were doing the basics and you're doing the 24-hour plan and you haven't done much of the thought work yet. Recovery worksheets are going to dip your toe into that. And that's a good thing for you. Okay. I would also, so now that you've gotten your degree, your time is freeing up, right? So you have time to work some stuff. I would take for you. What?
I have 30 hours a week back.
Wow, that's awesome. So the August program is time management, which you may or may not. I mean, the tools she's going to go over, I think everybody can use. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to do that one, do the deep dive into taking control. That's okay. Really going to help you see.
I looked at that this morning. Printed it out, but I didn't get further than like page 6.
So what that is for everybody who's listening is Corinne did, you know, the taking control module of No BS is what everybody in No BS is doing this right now. Okay. This week. And that's the one that talks about urges and justifications and overeat, you know, really looks into overeating. That deep dive course takes that module 5 and goes even deeper. So, that's a good one, as is the buffering and urges course for you.
Okay.
Pick one of those two.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. I'm writing down. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, so it's, I'm certain I'm not the only one here, but it's even premeditated. Mm-hmm. So I am going to Columbus, Ohio, to one of my agency sites mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Okay.
And I will be there Sunday through Wednesday. Mm-hmm. There is a restaurant there that I absolutely love called Mad Greeks.
Okay.
I have already told my travel companion, just one meal, at least one meal has to be at Mad Greeks.
Okay.
So I'm already trying to figure out, so I'm premeditating like, oh, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this. Mm-hmm. Knowing that that all satisfies the palate and the comfort nerves, but it doesn't do anything for where I'm trying to head.
Okay.
So I'm trying to reconcile in my brain this, like, I've even planned, oh, if I could go to Epcot by myself for a day, oh, the time I would have.
Mm-hmm.
This constant mental prepping for all the glorious foods I can shove in my body. Is that also addressed in the taking control and buffering urges, or how can I start preparing for next week so I don't come back 3, 4, 5 pounds heavier like I have on the double trip?
Well, taking control deep dive will help with that, but you need to realistically plan.
Okay.
If you're gonna go to Mad Greeks mm-hmm. and order all the things, put them all on the plane. But tell yourself you're eating to your two. Order all the things and have a little bit of each. Satisfy your palate. Treat yourself to an exception meal and eat to your two. And go back if you want to. But this is not, going is not a lot, you know, going there is not, you know,
I go every
a plus five or plus six meal. It's a plus two, right. Just like everything else.
And it's not like it's the only time I will ever eat it either, which I keep trying to rationalize in my brain. Right. But that's not.
Right.
The brain that comes forward and dominates in the moment.
Well, you have to, you just talk to it. Yeah. Just like I was telling, Cammie, right? Those thoughts are going to come up. You're going to have all the things. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I love this restaurant. I don't know when I'll get back. You know, your brain's going to shoot all the things at you. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, this is what I've planned. And this is, you know, I have, you know, bigger things in mind than how much I can eat today.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I wish I could just like flip a switch in people's brains sometimes, that in the moment when they have this big, huge plate of food in front of them that they love, that shines this great big light in the corner of their brain of them in a size 10 or a size 8, that helps them remember. That's what your compelling reason is supposed to do, is to help you remember in that moment when you have this great big plate of food in front of you mm-hmm. that this is really what I want right this minute, but it's not what I want for myself long term.
So you brought up compelling reason. Another area I've struggled as I've dabbled through all the materials is my why.
Mm-hmm.
I originally, when I started in January, created this whole long list of why.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like all the things that I wanted, like I would like to fit in an airplane seat comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And stuff along those lines. Yet on the daily, those whys have not been predominant enough in my brain or strong enough to cause me to change action.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you bring forward what that why is or find out what that, so, and I'm coming to camp in October. So if that's what this is going to focus on, I just don't know how to make that why or figure out that why that's so compelling.
Okay. So you're not, I mean, it's very few people have a compelling reason that's like magic fairy dust. Nobody had, I mean, okay. Compelling reasons are not magic fairy dust.
People okay? make it feel like they do. And
I'm well, like, well, you know, if you're in significant pain and losing weight and you know losing weight is going to be like, you're going to be pain-free, that's pretty compelling, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not, if, you know, if it's an airplane seat or a seatbelt extender or a size 10 pants or, you know, something like that, that's, yeah, that'd be really nice. Then you might have to just have a passel of them, a whole bunch of compelling reasons so that you can sort through them in your brain and say, today, I think I'll figure out this one. There was a call that Corinne did with John Acuff, who wrote the book Finish. Actually, he's an author. He's written a lot of books, a lot of, he's really funny actually. But he wrote the book Finish, and he read, it's about perfectionism and all or nothing thinking, but he talks about how you have to have compelling reasons. And he says, he talks about how you have to have a bunch of them, because one might not land today, but number 14 might, you know. So if you can make a reason, a list of like 20 reasons that you want to lose weight and carry those around with you, or get a little post-it notepad, write them out and stick them in different places on mirrors in your car and your computer monitor in your pantry. You know, remember, seatbelt extender right on the chip bag, you know, seatbelt extender on the freezer door. It's going to at least remind you in the moment of what your real goals are. You know, you're going to eat that ice cream and it's going to be gone. And that's what, when I really thought about that, I really want some ice cream right now. I'd really love to have that ice cream. It's part of having the ice cream is the anticipation and the taste in the moment, but then it's gone. And what do you have? Ice cream on your ass. Right? When I thought about that, I was like, I could either have like this 5 or 6 minutes of ice cream, or I could not worry about that 400 calories I just ate, or bowl of ice cream I just had, or whatever. Does that make sense?
It does.
I'm not making any sense at all tonight.
You are. I have a list of about 7 things that I need to check out. So yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Somebody says to not buffer through the pain either. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. Laura, what do you mean?
Oh, don't minimize how uncomfortable the airplane seat is. Ah, so feel the embarrassment. Okay.
Yeah, you can feel the embarrassment, but don't do it from a beat down standpoint. Just remember that this is not what I want. This is, you know, I have bigger and better things in mind for myself. You know, you don't want to sit there and go, yeah, she's just right. Like, don't wallow in it, but feel it. You want to sit there and go, I'm not so comfortable and I can fix this, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway, that's what I would do. I would do taking control, and I'd just brainstorm all the reasons you want to lose weight. Compelling is kind of a misnomer. Sometimes you'll find something that's super duper compelling, and sometimes you'll just have a list of reasons that, you know, you want to be a smaller size. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Making sure Lily is not here. I'm going to keep checking for her. All right. Laura Gary.
Lady.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. So I want to talk about goals and maybe fat girl thinking's first cousin with, I would say, maybe insecure thinking.
Okay.
So I've just recently I travel with work and I'm in a new location. And before coming to this location, I've got some pretty, like, really realistic but stretching running goals for myself over the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was really excited to do is I researched, and in the community where I'm going to be, there's this, like, really active running club that does a lot of stuff. They've got a web page that has all of the stuff where the different types of runs they do. And I was so excited. I was like, okay, I'm going to get there and I'm going to show up and I'm just going to introduce myself and I'm going to put myself so far out of my comfort zone that my body is going to be like, oh, okay, she's serious. You know, we're going to get faster. And I have been working on all of these things. And I show up at the first meetup and I sit in my car and I watched them meet, and my thought was, oh, well, they're real runners.
Mm.
And I was absolutely intimidated by that. And I did not go introduce myself. I did not walk up to the group. It wasn't a big group. It was probably overall maybe 10 of them. But they just looked like such real runners.
So why did you think they looked like real runners? What did you see?
I saw the stuff that I have right now. I saw little cute visors. I saw running shoes. I saw really fit and in shape, like just tiny, athletic. I think that was probably the tiny mm-hmm. athletic. Like I was going to be the biggest runner there.
Yep.
And I don't mind putting myself in situations. So it was very interesting. So I watched them from a distance. I stalked them from a distance. Let's say that. I watched them. I didn't even watch them go because I was probably down on my phone or doing something distracting. I look up and they're gone. And I said, well, okay, now what? They're gone. You don't even know where you're. They were the one to show you where everyone was running. So I still slowed my roll down. I still pulled up my map. I pulled up the information. I found where they were going, like the path or whatever. And I got my run in. So that was a win for. I didn't completely snowball. I didn't go to the coffee shop and get all the pastries that I maybe would have gotten in the past. I went and I got my, now my run was, now a bad run is better than no run. I know that. It wasn't, I'm sorry. Oh, help, am I still, okay, I'm sorry.
Yep, you're here.
I got a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I still went out. I did it, but I was much like, I was mentally defeated. Like I went and I did my intervals like for halfway that I was going to do. And then I just walked the rest of the way back. And I was just mentally defeated.
So why were you defeated, mentally defeated?
Because I feel like I let myself down. I didn't do what I didn't have my own back. I didn't show up for myself in that morning, in that moment when I got like really scared. I got like not panicky or scared, but just insecure. I just felt tiny and small and insignificant and, it was just.
Okay. So I asked you why you felt mentally defeated and you said, because I let myself down.
Okay. I guess that's my thought. That was my thought.
No, let yourself down is an action.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought was I didn't show up for myself. I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Like okay. I really had the intentions of doing this and I didn't do it. And then a couple days later, there was another thing. Like Monday, I was supposed to start work, and I didn't. So I was like, I'm going to show up. There's a workout group that meets in big cities, and I'm about an hour north of San Francisco. And I got up that morning, and I drove to San Francisco, and I pulled up at this park I've never been to before. I've never been in such a big city like this. And the same thing happened in the sense that I was a little nervous, and I was a little like, oh gosh, but I got out of the car with this group and I did this workout with this group. It was it was the same like thought, but it was like a different situation. It was like running was the key. Like this other group, there was running in part of it, but it was a workout thing. But for running, like I feel like I don't see myself as they're real runners and I'm not. And that is ridiculous. I know that I'm a runner. I know.
So why does that thought keep coming up? There were runners and I'm not.
I don't know. No, that's not true. I feel like it's like I'm on the cusp of like, I know that things are like I'm in a whole different running section of my life now. This is very new to me. Almost like I'm at a new weight now. This is the lowest I've ever been in my adult weight. This is the like, I feel like I'm redefining myself and I don't know where the running part fits in it anymore.
That's interesting.
I
don't know where the running part fits in. Where do you want it to fit in?
Oh, I want to be getting faster. I want to be like, I like where I'm
okay.
at. I like where I'm at. I'm very proud of where I'm at as far as what I'm doing. Like I'm breaking records. I'm doing new mm-hmm. things. I'm it's fantastic.
I'm still trying to figure out then how all this ties back to you hiding from this group, because you were in compare with that group, right? They're real runners. I'm not. I'm a practice runner.
I was comparing with, but I don't feel like I'm still like seeing myself differently. Maybe like I'm still seeing myself doing like, I'm just now getting to the point physically, like not aside from running, like when I look at myself somehow and go, oh wow, I'm seeing myself like different. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I went shopping for new scrubs today. I pulled extra large mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and tried them on and they didn't fit. And I was like, wow, okay. No, these,
okay.
And I thought they wouldn't.
Yeah. So you're having a little cognitive dissonance, which is essentially you're seeing yourself instead of as you are now, what you're used to seeing, which was however many pounds ago. Okay.
Yes.
And just understanding running, that helps,
yeah,
right?
I think it's the same with running. Like I'm in That's all what this it sounds like. Of everything. Like I'm running faster than I've ever run in my life. And I'm very proud of that. And I'm not like, I'm not discounting anything that I'm doing with it. I am really proud of it, but it's still so new to me. I'm still looking at the old, but I'm not quite to my goal.
That's what you're doing. So the next time you go to meet with this running group or you have these thoughts, I remember.
Which by the way, the reason I'm on the coaching call, I'm in the parking lot right now. The store is behind me and they meet in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that I got on here.
Right.
This is so just to get my thoughts right on this.
Well, you just hear the old thoughts.
Okay.
I don't belong here. I'm not a real runner. And you just keep going. When I'll never forget, I don't run very much anymore. But when I was running, I was ashamed of my legs. I was ashamed the way my legs, I have a lot of loose skin on my legs. And so when I was running, you know, the loose skin would move around and all that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. And I would see some cute little thing run by me in a running skirt. And I'm doing my little, you know, 1 minute run, 2 minute walk, you know, intervals or whatever. She'd go blowing by me and I'd think, man, she got some runner's legs. And then I'd start my little 1 minute run and I'd have to tell myself, wait a minute, you're running too. also have runner's legs. So you just have to hear the thoughts come into your mind and think to yourself, no, you know what? I am a runner. Even if I run just 1 minute intervals and I walk 4 minutes, I'm still a runner because I'm running. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you run more than that. But
well, I mean,
just because somebody else has a different pant size doesn't make them any different or better or whatever a runner than you are. You're still a runner. You still get out there and do your thing. So you just have to hear those thoughts, expect them to come in and say, you know what? I really want to do this. I'm all in. I'm doing it.
And just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. I actually just had a TDL on that. I just had a TDL about the exact same thing that, not a TDL, I did a model, because my husband was saying something about how, we were talking about the fat girl thinking and the inner girl, mm-hmm. but we were talking about just like with losing weight in general. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he said, and I just did a model on it. And so it does apply to running. I didn't even think about how it would apply to running in the same way.
It applies to a lot of things. It applies to anything that we're insecure about. I mean, we can call it fat girl thinking, but it's essentially just our brains trying to keep us safe. It, you know, your brain saw that you were a little uncomfortable about going over there. So it's like, okay, let's just keep Laura safe. So, you know, we'll just tell her, you don't have to do that. You know, just go on home, especially if you're going to run.
Right.
You sure you really want to do that?
Right.
Let's keep Laura safe so she doesn't have to put herself out there, so she doesn't have to meet new people or make new friends or go running with this group or whatever. We'll just kind of throw some shade at her and let's see if we can, you know, keep everything on the down.
Get her off her game a little bit.
And that's
okay, and just hear it. It's okay. I don't have to argue with it. I don't have to be angry with it. I just hear it and go, all right, that's interesting. Yeah. But I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I had a coach tell me.
I really
me,
want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what you say back. Yeah. You know, I just really want to do this. I had a coach tell me once that when her fat girl thinking starts up, she just says, thank you for your input. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's just that easy, right?
Yeah. Well, I put on my action, hear her, acknowledge her as fat girl or insecure girl thinking, dismiss, and then keep doing me. Keep knowing that who my authentic self is and where my goal-focused self is, and just keep working on that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Corinne did say something. I think I heard it. I don't know. It was after that incident, but before. It might have been on the coaching call this weekend, maybe, where she just said, you have to suck at something before. You have to be willing to suck at it before you get better. And so I wrote that down and was like, okay, this is me willing to suck at. I might not be as fast as. I want to get faster, though. And so the reason I want to get faster, or one of the reasons I want to show up here, is to push myself and be around people who are faster, who are doing it maybe more than me, or, you know, faster than me.
You know, the only fair comparison is to yourself.
Right.
You know, when I was running, my husband, who could, I don't know, he's 58 years old and he just glides when he runs, you know, like, you don't even breathe, right? I'm over here going, you know,
right.
You know, of the four of us, the four that ran together, I was always the last one in, you know, and I really had to work my brain around not being as good as, okay. Until I realized that as long as I was just comparing myself to myself, I could feel victory every time I ran, because you do improve incrementally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead of comparing yourself to this new group or to whoever you're running with, think about how you're improving race to race or mile to mile or run to run.
Right.
And just keep your focus there, and it changes everything. I mean, you can apply that to weight loss too.
Right, right. And so I'm trying to, like, does the same thing happen in weight loss as far as, like, when you're, like, almost, like, if you're doing really good, really good, really good, you're almost like, well, when's the bottom going to fall out, or when am I going to stop losing and start gaining again? I've never been able to, like I'm almost being tripped up by the fact that I am doing really well, and that, mm-hmm. like, in not in everything in my life, but, again, that this is the smallest I've ever been. This is the happiest I've been with my physical self and really liking. This is all of these things are really good going on, and it's almost like bringing up more. Again, maybe because I'm not confident in this new self yet. I'm not.
You're just not used to her yet. You're just not used to her yet.
And the only way I get used to her mm-hmm. is by soaking more of her in.
Right.
More of her in and becoming
right.
more.
This All is the kind self-talk.
The difference between the self-confidence mm-hmm. and the self, mm-hmm. like the belief, like the,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just talk, just get to know her more. Instead of not believing her,
right.
embrace her, write about her.
And focus Who, more, mm-hmm. write about her, talk to mm-hmm. her more, TDL yep. about her more. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great, lady.
All right. See ya.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Lily is back. I'm going to take you now. I'm going to finish you up. Hey.
Hi.
I lost
Sorry about
you.
All that.
That's all right. Okay. So we left off. You were having lots of heartburn. You got a diagnosis. Your mm-hmm. treatment plan stresses you out because of metal detectors and your husband's pacemaker.
Correct.
And your thought error is?
The problem is that I can't get out of my unintentional model right now. So I know the circumstance is a bad test. That's the best way I can put it, is a test with a bunch of problems with it. And then my thought is, I'm not going to be able to be near my husband because of how the treatment plan is going. My feelings about it are just upset, worried, concerned, panicked. The action is I just keep having this thought error and I'm not moving forward. And then the result is no movement forward, and I can't move beyond it at the moment.
So let's go back to the C line. Because the okay. C line is just a test.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you want to narrow it in a little bit, it's a test that involves magnets, right?
The treatment plan will have magnets, yes.
The treatment plan has magnets. Okay. So let's put that in the C line.
Okay.
Treatment plan. The reason we want to keep this C nice and neutral is because it has to be something that everybody agrees on. So we're going to do a little model explanation while we do this. So treatment plan has magnets.
Okay.
Okay. And your thought in the model is about the C line, right? So
yes.
Your thought is one sentence, one painful thought. Give it to me. What is the most painful thing you think about this treatment plan?
My thought is that I will demagnetize my husband's pacemaker, which could ultimately, if he needed, kill him and go many different ways.
All right. And the feeling is?
The feeling is worried, upset, nervous, and the mortality of me and my husband in that case.
All right. So when you're upset about demagnetizing your husband's pacemaker, what do you do?
You worry? I worry. I haven't had, luckily, any overeats or anything like that. It's just been more hard to breathe, hard to focus, things like that.
Okay. So basically, you're doing nothing but worrying. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay. That's not uncommon, y'all. If worry is in your action line, you're probably not doing anything else. You're just worrying. You're feeling real busy, right? You're feeling like you're doing all the things because you're disaster planning, but you're really doing nothing. Okay.
Okay.
And the result is no treatment.
Inaction.
Right?
Yeah, no treatment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, I didn't hear a lot of what you said because you were going in and out. What other options do you have for treatment?
Another option is the hiatal hernia surgery. And they said there's a high risk for things going wrong there. And that, but there's different kinds of surgery, but they don't know if I'm going to be a candidate for it because of how much esophageal burning there is. As well as I could just be on medications for the rest of my life, but that won't fully fix the problem.
Okay.
As well as change my diet yet again, and I'm already down to very minimal things because I've been trying to change my diet as much as possible to help with things.
Okay. I'm changing your C-line to treatment for esophageal burning.
Okay.
Okay. Because the treatment, the first treatment they gave you, or the one that's the most successful, has to do with demagnetizing your husband, your husband's pacemaker. All right. So what we want to do when you're not yet ready for a super duper pie in the sky intentional model. I can find all the treatments and select everything and I'll be, everything is going to be roses and daisies, right? You're not ready for that.
Right.
Right? Because what you've told me is there's really no good options here. Right?
Yeah.
So when we're trying to work our way toward an intentional model, we add these openers and closers to our unintentional thought.
Okay.
Okay. So your unintentional thought is, if I do this treatment, I'll demagnetize my husband's pacemaker. Okay.
Right.
Well, that sounds like it's not even an option at this point. Right. And, you know, unless you live somewhere other than your husband, if you have magnets in you and he has a pacemaker, right? I mean, so what if we just set that one aside? Okay. What do you do if that becomes not an option? What opens up?
The medication that I'm currently on doubling.
Okay.
Probably a lot more research of even more things that I could possibly cut out of my diet.
Okay. So we're into actions here. We're into research.
Okay.
Right? We're into medication. Take more meds.
I will tell you that I kind of worry about the research thing because I know on a couple calls it's been research is in action. So that's my kind of worry with saying research on that one.
Well, it can't. Research research is not massive action.
Okay.
But if it takes you research to figure out, you know, the right result, if, you know, it's kind of like making a decision. You can stew around in what decision to make, but you give yourself a deadline, right?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to do some research, but I'm only researching for the next, whatever, 2 days, three days, week.
Okay.
I'll talk to three doctors, not 10 doctors, you know, or whatever it is. Okay. So set yourself a timeline for research.
Okay.
Medication doubling. What else? You had, you're in the action line.
The three other surgeries.
Well, those are potential treatments, right?
Okay.
Okay.
That's true.
So in order to do this research and to consider, let's put that in the action line, consider other treatments, consider treatments. In order to do the research and consider treatments, how do you have to feel?
Calmer than I am now.
Okay. How about open?
Yeah, open and hopeful, I think, are very good ones.
Okay. All right. And if you do this research and you consider these treatments and you talk to doctors, I'm guessing you're doing that. You're probably getting second opinions and all that kind of stuff, right? What does all that result in?
Less worry and options.
Okay. So it results in options to consider. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you haven't made a decision yet, but you're considering options. That's a model you can level up to can be a decision on your treatment as a result.
Okay.
All right. So C line is treatment plan for esophageal burning. We have no thought yet, but your feeling is open and hopeful. Because you feel open and hopeful, you're willing to do research, talk to doctors, look at all these, consider treatment options. And the result is that you end up with some things to consider. Okay. What's a one sentence thought you can come up with that leads to being open and hopeful?
I have options. Yeah, I have options.
How about my markers stink? I am willing to believe I can find options.
I like that.
Is that doable? Is that a doable thought for you?
Yes.
Because it's not saying I have options, because I don't think you believe you do yet.
Okay.
Right? Do you? You're like, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this. Right? I can't do this one. Demagnetize my husband. That's no good. All right.
Okay.
So here's our intentional model.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it out loud. I'm willing to believe I can find treatment options. The feeling, I put hope, open and hopeful.
Okay.
It's very interesting. They might lead to the same model, but usually you'll only have one feeling in the feelings line. Okay. You can decide which one you like better. And your action line is research, consider treatments, talk to doctors. And your result line is you end up with some options to consider. You could then do another model that puts these options in your C line.
Okay.
And you could actually, if you have, let's say you have three different options. You have doubling your medication, you have surgery, you have diet change. You could do three different models and see what your thoughts are about each of those. And that might actually help you make your decision. You might uncover some thoughts that are like, I absolutely don't want to do that surgery. No, okay. It's just going to be a waste of time. I know if I do the surgery, I'm going to have to change my diet anyway. So why don't I just go ahead and change my diet and see if that works? There's all, you know, there's no telling what's going to come up for you if you actually put the options you come up with in your C-line.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's something I can work with.
Okay.
Okay.
Got any questions?
No, I actually just took a screenshot and I'm going to try working through some of that and get, yeah, thank you.
On the research part, set yourself a timeline, set yourself a deadline. Okay. Don't be that guy that researches for the next couple of years and doesn't get anywhere.
Do you think the end of the month is too long of a timeline?
That's up to you.
Okay.
You're the only one who can know that. Probably depends on your discomfort.
Okay. All right. I'll go with the end of the month.
Okay.
And then who knows? It might go quicker than that. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Karen, you're up. Karen is the only one with her hand raised. If anybody else wants to be coached. Hang on just a second. Oh, you did it. Hi. Uh-oh, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Got you now.
You fixed it. So I am having trouble with a circumstance and getting past the circumstance to thoughts that will help the circumstance not be so awful to me.
Okay, circumstance can't be awful. A circumstance is a circumstance. This is going to be great.
I don't know if it's going to be great for me, but okay.
All right. I'm getting my whiteboard out again. What?
I want to get my phone so I can take a picture of it because I don't know how to do a screenshot. Wait one sec.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what is the circumstance?
Okay. The circumstance is that an 11-year relationship ended badly.
Nope. An 11-year relationship ended.
Oh, yeah, no badly allowed.
And the only reason I'm letting you keep the 11-year part modifier is because you can probably substantiate the dates.
Probably could.
Okay. All right. So this 11-year relationship ended.
Yes.
And you could convince anyone in the world that the relationship is over, correct?
I don't think I have to do a lot of convincing, but yes, I probably.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
So the reason we do that is because the C-line of the model has to be totally neutral.
Right.
The relationship is, we are not, there is no relationship anymore. The relationship has ended. It lasted 11 years. Was it with a friend, a husband, a partner?
Yeah. A boyfriend.
Boyfriend. Okay. So we'll put that in here too. 11-year relationship with boyfriend ended. Okay. Put it in the wrong place. All right. So what are we modeling here?
So
tell me about this.
So I'm trying to get past that part where it's the thoughts about I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, that's why it didn't work, that's why it just didn't work.
Okay. So do we need to model that? Let's model that. What's the most painful thought?
Both of those.
Okay.
Oh, I have to pick one?
Mm-hmm. Just pick one.
I'm not good enough.
Okay. My favorite thought. Seriously, that's my go-to destructive thought in my head. That's mine. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough shows up a lot of places for me.
No, I've heard you talk about that. I mean, I have. I tried to, and I'm walking you around my kitchen, so I'm sorry.
Okay. So when you think I'm not good enough, how do you feel?
I feel really sad.
Sad. And when you're sad, what do you do?
I don't eat. What do I do when I'm sad? I just stay there. I stay in it.
You stew?
Stew. Mm-hmm. I kind of beat myself up more than
stew. Yeah. Yeah. Beat myself up. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I question my decision of ending it.
Question decisions. Anything else?
Anything else?
Do you hide? Do you
hide from what?
I don't know. Anybody. Just.
Well, I mean, I kind of do go into stealth mode, and I don't feel like going out, and I don't feel like doing anything, so I just.
Yep, I'd say hide.
I try and keep myself busy and make that my excuse, and then I feel really sad.
Oh, buffer.
Buffer?
We'll put buffer in here, too.
Okay.
Right? Because if you're making yourself busy, you're not doing your work on your I'm not good enough thought, right?
That's probably true, yeah.
All right, so the result is, guess what?
The result. The result. Of those thoughts?
Of the model, the result of the model.
I don't know.
You prove that you're not good enough. You're not fully showing up.
Okay, wait, I got to take a picture.
Okay, so I'm going to read it for everybody on the podcast. She's not good enough. This relationship ended. And her thought is she's not good enough, which makes her sad. And when she's sad, she stews, beats herself up, questions her decisions, hides, and buffers. And the result of all that is that you really don't show up in life, right, as good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're proving your thought true by the way you feel and the way you act. That's how the model works, right?
Yeah, I'm just writing that down. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. How do I get past?
Well, is this the truth? Is the I'm not good enough thought the truth?
It's my truth.
Is it?
Yeah, I feel that way in other contexts too, not just. Well,
let's talk about this relationship.
Okay.
You ended it. Did you end it because you weren't good enough?
No, I ended it because he wasn't showing up.
All right. So let's put that in the C line, in the thought line. He's not showing up.
Isn't that a C line?
No, it's your thought.
Okay.
If you can tell me exactly what he did or did not do without any modifiers, we would consider it. But what do you mean when you say he's not showing up? What do you really mean?
So I'm divorced.
Okay. To me, that sounds like he stood you up on a date. He didn't show up. I take it very literally. So what does that mean?
So I'm divorced and he was separated and he never went past that. So I waited and waited and waited and waited and he never showed up. I mean, he never did what he said he was going to do.
Okay. Why did you make that about you?
I couldn't think of another reason why he wouldn't do what he said he would do.
Okay. Do you think that, well, you couldn't think of another reason. You can think of one other reason why he didn't divorce his wife?
Well, I mean, the reasons that he told me that I didn't really believe.
Okay. The only reason you believe is because you're not good enough. He didn't divorce his wife because you're not good enough.
That's the one that floats around the front of my mind. If I can clear that out of the way, then I can think of it.
All right, let's set that aside.
Okay.
What else is in there? What other reasons did he not leave his wife?
Because she's crazy and would go berserk, and it would make the kids' lives miserable, even though they're adults.
Okay.
Because she's super religious and would never let him get divorced anyway.
What if the reason is because he just didn't want to?
Yeah, that could be it.
What if it wasn't even about you? What if he just made a choice?
Mm-hmm.
I can either go with Karen and have living hell because my wife is crazy,
mm-hmm.
or I can stay with her, manage that, and at least have, you know, 10 minutes of peace now and then or something. I don't know. What if he just made a choice? What if it wasn't even about you? What if you were absolutely good enough and he just didn't have the chutzpah to make the decision you thought he should make?
I thought he would make based on what he said. Yeah.
Changed his mind. So what you're doing is taking the blame for him not leaving his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want to do?
No, I'd rather not.
Yeah. So what could you think, or what could you work toward thinking about this relationship ending?
What could I work toward?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously changing my thought.
Yeah. What would be a reasonable, you know, other thought other than, you know, I'm not good enough?
Is this where the action comes in?
No, this is the thought.
But changing the thought, isn't that an action? No.
In some model, it could be. But we're working this one.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. What was one of the reasons you said? The reason he didn't leave his... Okay. How about the thought is he wouldn't leave his wife?
Okay.
How's that make you feel?
Not any better than I feel right now.
Okay, sad. Action is blame him, right?
Yeah.
Stew. Grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Grieve in the relationship. Anything wrong with it?
No. I mean, it's, I know,
him.
Mm-hmm. The natural progression. It's just very unpleasant.
Sure. You're grieving. Of course it's going to be unpleasant. Look, we're not going to rainbows and daisies here, right? Whatever this model turns out to be, whatever your thought is about it, you're probably going to have grieve the relationship,
mm-hmm.
in the A line, action line, because that's what you're going to do when you end an 11-year relationship. And you obviously cared about him, or you wouldn't have been with him for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess because every time I left, he reeled me back in and was like, no, we're going to work this out. And like after too many reel-ins, I just felt so beat up. I was like, I'm out. I just felt beat up a lot. And so now that I'm beat up, you're right. I'm just sort of sitting mm-hmm. here grieving and buffering.
Mm-hmm. So what if we just accept that that's where you are and that's okay? Instead of you not being good enough, why don't we just say this? I ended the relationship because he wouldn't leave his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sad, right? But your action is not, you know, it involves grieving now. It involves missing him and accepting the ending of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Result is a lot better. It's your learning to be without him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rather than you're not showing up because you're unlovable or you're unworthy or you're not good enough.
Yeah, all that.
Right? I want you to really think about those feelings. The work that I did on I'm not good enough was so powerful because I kept asking myself, is that really the truth? Am I really not a good enough grandmother or not a good enough coach or not a good enough wife? You know, so really, are you really not good enough? Or is that just the easy way out to excuse his behavior?
Better write that down.
Yeah. If you look back on the 11 years and the number of times that you went back to him, right?
Yeah.
And accepted you back. It's 11 years with this man. You must have been good enough for 11 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I would think about. And then think about ultimately, if you had the choice, would you continue with that relationship for the rest of your life in the way it was?
No.
Right?
I couldn't. I mean,
So does that mean you're not good enough, or does that mean you deserve better? What do you make that mean?
I deserve better.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I think I can.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because people say that to me over and over, and I'm like, no. No, I don't deserve better, or else I would have gotten better.
Were you looking for better?
No.
No. You know, better doesn't just come out of the sky and sprinkle fairy dust on you, right? You have to believe in yourself and believe that you deserve better in order to find better. You settled in an 11-year relationship, right? Because you thought, this is the best I can do. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, was the best. And there was a lot of good about it. It just was a lot of drama and a lot of work. Oh, somebody wrote something really nice.
Yeah. And then you decided it wasn't worth the drama and the work anymore.
Right.
Why did you make that decision?
Because everything was out of my control.
Like, no.
I had no voice in the relationship. I couldn't take it anymore.
Why couldn't you take it anymore?
Because of that. Like, I had no control.
Because you deserved better. Because you knew that wasn't the relationship you wanted anymore. And it wasn't going to change. So you've already proved to yourself that you deserve better. You acted in a way that supports that thought. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. That makes perfect sense, but I never got that far on my whiteboard.
That's why you have me.
I know. I have a really big whiteboard, too.
Well, I think you're going to need to go back and listen to this some more and listen to the way you talk about how you deserve better. And you're the one who said that first, right? I just picked up on it and carried it a little bit further. I think you need to really do some thought downloads about why you deserve better than that, about how you deserve better than that. You have to start practicing that thought, because what's going to happen is you're going to get off this call, you're going to go have a cry, and you're going to be like, I don't know why I'm so unlovable. I don't know why he couldn't just leave her for me. I just don't know why. What's wrong with me? You're going to forget the whole, yeah, maybe I do deserve better, because that's a new thought. It's kind of like, it's not real sticky yet.
No, it feels prickly.
It feels prickly, but there's a little piece of you that wants to believe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not guessing that, right? I mean, that seems to be what I'm picking up here.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to believe that. So you said I should listen to this back, but where is this?
it'll be posted in the private member podcast, and it will be online tomorrow on the website tomorrow
on PNP Tribe.
Mm-hmm. You have the Private Member podcast?
Let me see. Orientation, buffering, and urges. No, maybe I don't. Oh, yes, I do. Private Member. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you're talking. Okay.
Wow.
I clicked on something. It was Corinne, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
All right, let's do one more model. Okay. The thought is, I'm open to believing I deserve better.
Okay. That's the circumstance?
Nope, that's the thought.
Okay.
We're still in the relationship ending.
Okay. Oh, the circumstance, okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you think, I'm open to believing I deserve better, what feeling does it bring in?
Unfamiliar feeling. Maybe I can get there and believe that.
Open?
Yeah. Willing.
Willing.
Willing to believe it.
Okay.
Open to trying, maybe.
Okay. So when you're willing to try to believe that thought, what do you do?
I probably pace around the house repeating it over and over.
Okay. You practice the thought? Yeah. What else?
I remind myself of what you said earlier, that it had nothing to do with me.
Get coached. You probably do some thought downloads and some journaling.
I'm not really good on the journaling thing.
I'm going to tell you, if you write about this, the more you write about it, the more practice your brain gets to believing it. Okay? So yeah. Just...
I always struggle to start.
Yeah. Well, starting is easy. You always know what you're feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're feeling sad right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel sad? And you're right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, this is a good suggestion over here, Lori.
Yes. I was gonna put that in your action line. Write a list of reasons you left him beside each one, write why and write because I deserve better.
Lori Ann's on fire.
So you can make lists.
Maybe she should be my accountability partner.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to find that.
So the result of this model is that you begin
to feel better.
To feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The beautiful thing about this model is it shows that new thoughts require practice. Lots and lots of practice. Lorianne says, absolutely, with a happy face, she'll be your accountability partner. Lorianne, you got a big job, girl.
I think it's more about this than losing weight for me, because I feel like this is what's like the wall between my scale and me.
Mm. So can you read that okay with the green?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me take a picture.
I have trouble reading green pen.
Really? Looks pretty good.
Good.
Looks good against your green sweater.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, got it.
All right, so you and Lorianne are going to hook up somehow, right?
I'll try. I'll click on her name and see what happens.
Click on her name, and you're going to start practicing new thoughts about yourself. And, you know, because that's going to be the key for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
I can't click on her name. Huh. How do you find someone? Oh, maybe go on the Facebook page?
Well, I tell you what, if you will just post back in the chat, maybe give her your Facebook name and you guys can hook up that way through Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
Or,
So search her name and she can search mine?
Well, you know, this says all panelists. Okay, so you guys, all right. She says sounds good.
Okay.
All right, you guys hook up. That's awesome. Okay?
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right. You good?
I'm good.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
So the model is just so interesting. All right, nobody has their hands raised. It's 7:30. I can do at least two more people. I love that last model, how she, you know, how practicing thoughts is so important when you're trying on new ones, when you're trying to figure out new ones. You know, she might decide that that thought isn't the one for her, and that's okay. She might just have to, you know, try on some different ones, practice some new ones, see what comes up for her. Oh, Mary, thank you. Let's see what you got.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I went to the dentist today, so I may talk a little.
Do you have, is your mouth all numb?
Yes.
What's going on, Mary?
So I joined in April, and I got off to a good start, and then I just kind of stopped doing the work. Yesterday, I tuned in to Corinne's call last night, and I started over. Today, I had a really good day. I haven't drank all of my water, but I feel like I'm motivated again, but I just need some, I raised my hand for like some accountability, and then I'll probably show up a little bit more to the coaching calls and stuff.
Well, good. You should show up to the coaching calls. tell me, well, okay. So it's still light where you are. You still have time to drink your water, right?
I have it.
You must be on the West Coast because it's getting dark here.
East Coast. I live in Alabama. Mm-hmm.
You live in Alabama? You're in Central Time with me then, aren't you? Okay. So tell me about getting started again today. What was your thought?
My thought was, so over the weekend, I was like, I've got to get started again. And then I was like, I was excited today.
So why did you decide you had to get started again?
Because I joined the group to lose weight, and then I wasn't doing any of that. I stopped doing it.
Yeah, but why did you decide you had to start again?
Oh, I decided I need to start again to lose weight.
Okay. Was there anything that motivated you to start again?
Well, maybe my friend asked me a question. She was like, didn't you join? Well, the weekend, I just decided I need to start. But on, yesterday, after I had already decided that I would start again, my friend asked me a question. She was like, didn't you join the tribe? I was like, yeah. And then she was like, she kind of said, well, you better get cracking. And then I wanted to tell her about the things that I already did, mm-hmm. The 7 pounds that I did lose. Mm-hmm. But that came after I decided to start again, though. That was just like fire under my butt to go ahead and get back into it.
So actually someone else saying something, she mm-hmm. said, didn't you join that tribe?
Yeah.
You had a thought about, yeah, I did. Maybe I should get to work, right? Yeah. And that thought led to what feeling? Ready?
It led me to, well, again, like this weekend, I scheduled these calls into the Zoom. That's why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. And I scheduled Corinne's call. So I planned on showing back up. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, when she said that, then I kind of felt a little, almost like guilty, and I wanted to kind of defend myself like, hey, I'm already trying to get back on track.
Oh, I see. So she, when you say she lit a fire under you, she just reminded you that you needed to recommit.
She reminded me that I needed mm-hmm. to recommit, and it was just maybe a couple of sentences, and then I may have changed the subject. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. So, but recommitting sounds like it feels good to you.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a very good day today.
All right. Tell me about your good day. What did you do that was good today?
Well, before I put any food in my mouth, I planned out everything that I was going to eat. And then I separated my lunch and dinner, and I ate what I said I would eat.
Okay.
And that's pretty much why I say I had a good day.
All right. So no overeats today.
No overeats.
Going to finish your water. You're going to get in bed.
I don't know if I'm going to try. Well, I don't know, because I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I'm going to finish it.
Well, how much water did you plan?
I didn't have a water goal for today.
I want you to set a water goal tomorrow. It okay. doesn't have to be 64 ounces if that's not realistic.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, that's ultimately what you want to shoot for. But if, like, you don't even drink any water at all, thinking you're going to get 64 ounces in is probably not realistic. So what kind of goal do you think you can set for yourself tomorrow on your water?
64 ounces. I can do it.
Okay.
I got started late, and then it's just getting late. And so I just don't want to get up all night.
Okay. I get that.
I can really chug it if I wanted to, but it's just going to be a long night if I do. But I'm going to put it by my bedside. So as soon as I get up in the morning, I'm going to get going.
That's a great goal. All right. So you're going to get your water in tomorrow. You're going to do your food plan. When are you going to do it?
I'm going to do my food plan in the morning.
All right. You're a morning planner. Are you going to do an assessment tonight of today?
Yes, I'm going to do that in the morning as well.
Okay. I do that too. I actually do my assessment from the day before and the plan for the day at the same time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was working really good for me, but then I started getting later and later, and then I started eating before I did the first thing, and then I ultimately didn't pick up my book for 2 weeks.
Okay. So what are you going to do when that starts happening again?
I don't know, because I want to say that I'm gonna like journal, but then I've pretty much walked away at that point.
Mm-hmm. What if you're just going to say, I know I really don't want to, but I'm going to anyway? What if you just show up anyway? What if you just keep, I mean, that's a, did you get through No BS when you started? Did you get all the way through? All right. So that's in the 4 stages of weight loss section, right? You know, you're right now, you're recommitted, had a great day, stage 1, feeling good, right? I could do this again tomorrow.
Yes.
And you do that for a couple of weeks, you're feeling good. Then you get up one day and you're like, man, I really want a donut.
Yeah.
That would be me. I really want a donut. I just don't think maybe I'll have a donut. Maybe I'm just not going to plan today. That's stage mm-hmm. 2. It starts to get hard. It gets tedious. It gets boring. Really have to do another plan. I'm out of paper, man. I don't want start getting excuses, all this stuff. Oh, look, shiny object. Somebody called. I don't know what I'm going to eat. All right. That stuff starts coming up. Right.
Right.
At stage 2. You know how you get through stage 2?
Keep going.
You keep on going. No matter how hard it feels, no matter how bad you don't want to do it, you just keep going, because eventually what happens is you get to stage 3. Stage 3 is where it starts to become automatic. You find your groove, right? So what happened to you was you were in stage 1, lost 7 pounds. Then you hit stage 2. You're like, I think I'm going to take a day off. That turned into what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Okay.
I had such high goals for the gift of fat, and mm-hmm. I showed up the first few days. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, the first few days, and then I just kind of didn't come back.
Guess what? You still have 7 days left to do the gift of fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can still give her a gift. You got 7 days to give Corinne some kind of gift. And honestly, you know, even if it's not weight loss, the fact that you have recommitted now and you're thinking about how am I going to deal with this when it happens again, she would love that. That would be an amazing gift. I fell off for a couple of weeks, but man, I'm back. Here I am. Here's your gift. Recommitted and feeling good and ready for the next time mm-hmm. my brain decides to, you know, say, let's take a day off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also said that I would post in the thread on Friday as well. Mm-hmm. So it will just be, that'll be like a restart weight because I didn't weigh. I just didn't want to weigh. So mm-hmm. Friday will be my first weigh-in again, and then I'll track from then. And mm-hmm. I'll like, yeah. So I'll just like, I ignored it because I wasn't doing everything that I should be doing. So.
Were you doing, I mean, are you telling me that you weren't doing everything or you weren't doing anything? You weren't falling off just because you, you know, didn't do one thing, right? You weren't this all or nothing, I have to do everything perfectly or I won't do anything person, are you?
No, I wasn't. I was still like trying to eat to my two, but then I found myself snacking. And then like one morning I woke up, I was like, well, I haven't had anything to drink. You know, unplanned. And then I remember that like I worked 4/12s at the hospital, and then that day the last day that I worked Sunday, I went to the gas station and drank, and I didn't even remember it until like pretty much in the middle of the morning when I was, or the next morning when I was waking up, I was like, oh shh, I did drink last night. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it was kind of like autopilot, but obviously I did make the choice to go there, but it was a fog because I didn't even remember it until the next morning. I mean, I didn't get drunk, but it was just like, just habit, something that I used to do all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's when you do a recovery worksheet and you start bringing that kind of activity back into your conscious brain, into the awareness of your brain, right? So it becomes more of a conscious decision rather than a fog the more recovery worksheets you do. It's like turning the lights on in a dark room. Mm-hmm. You know, if that habit is the dark room of your brain, the more recovery worksheets you do, you turn that light on, you start to see the thoughts then that lead you into that habit of fog drinking or whatever it was that you were doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. So I need to commit to that as well between now and Friday, and then I'll do an update for sure.
Cool. What else you got? I'm glad you're back.
That's all. I just wanted to say that I was back and to just kind of put the word out there so I can show up Friday.
All right. Everybody look for Mary in the weigh-in thread Friday and give her a high five and say, welcome back, Jack.
All right.
All right.
All right. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Where's my mouse? All right, Beth. And then Tommy Jane. Hello. Oh, wait a minute. Unmute. Here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So I had my hand up, then I had my hand down.
I thought you came in. Right?
I had things were going on in the house, so I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Where I was. So anyway, the reason I called is I'm just back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a cruise, the fateful cruise with all the food. But before that, I had, for the past 2 weeks, I've had a house full of out-of-town company, part of which that went on the cruise with me, and then they came back with me and stayed and just left today. So there's been lots of commotion and food and anyway. But my thing was, is that I listened to all the podcasts about how to deal with the cruise and going on it, and I really think I did very well.
Okay.
In the past, I mean, I would have been at the buffet eating, and I used that one plate. I said, I'm taking one plate
mm-hmm.
when we were there, and it really worked so well. Mm-hmm. Breakfast was just whatever was on one plate and not a stuffed plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been since January and doing well, and I have lost 22 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And really at... doing well. So I felt good going on the vacation, and I didn't overeat with all the company here as well. I stayed on plan. And, you know, there were, I planned that I'm not a real drinker. So mm-hmm. there were maybe two drinks in a day, if that much. And I chose, maybe I had two pina coladas. I said, I'm not going with sugary drinks. But anyway, so I managed well. And, you know, a few desserts here and there. But for the most part, it went better than I expected. And I had spoken to my accountability group, and I wasn't going to weigh myself.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to give it till Friday. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Corinne, I listened, and mm-hmm. here's that 3 to 5 pounds or however. So after everybody left last night, I said, I hadn't started my 24-hour plans yet, which I did today. I was back on track. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, let me just get on the scale. So the scale was up 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I tried not to let it swirl too much in my head and make too much of it, because I know where that 4 pounds came from.
Okay.
It was a week with alcohol that I never drink. Mm-hmm. Rarely, mm-hmm. rarely. Plates that were certainly filled more than usual. Even though most of the time we ate in a dining room, so the portions are very small. But it's still more food than I've been eating since January to okay. lose the 22 pounds.
Okay.
So basically my dilemma, and it's not a dilemma, I think I just called to vent basically mm-hmm. and hear what you had to say, was that I had gotten to a weight before I went on the cruise that I haven't seen for years. Mm-hmm. It was 171 pounds, and I started like at 194, mm-hmm. and I came back and that weight
okay.
was, you know, 175 point something.
Okay. So
that like just got me, and my gift of fat was going to be to give Corinne 4 pounds. Instead, I got the 4 pounds in return.
So you tell me what you can think about this cruise. Mm-hmm. What can you do about those 4 pounds now?
The best I could do is get right back on plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Today was so, my water plan.
What can you change about your cruise?
Nothing.
Right.
Right. Nothing.
So beating yourself up about 4 pounds that you can't, I mean, they're there. Mm-hmm. They might be bloat. They might be real weight. They might, who knows what they are, right?
Yeah.
Calling it a dilemma and being upset about it does not help you go, you know what? I'm going to push the water tomorrow. I'm back on plan. I might even go for a walk.
Yeah. You know?
And maybe in a week, the 4 pounds will be gone because did you fly?
No.
You didn't fly. You drove. How far did you drive?
It was 45 minutes. Okay. I'm in New York, so we were right by.
So you're right by the.
By the sail away. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had drinks. You had probably had a lot of salt.
Right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, you can go to knowing all that. Here's what I would do is a cruise assessment that's neutral, no emotion. I did, you know, no beating yourself up, no anything. Mm-hmm. This is what I see. When I look back on that cruise and I'm guessing the friends that have been in town, mm-hmm. this is what I see. Probably overate this meal, probably overate this meal. I definitely overdrank here.
Oh, yeah.
This was really salty. This is what I see. Create some data from the past okay. week and a half and then look at it neutrally and say, well, okay, maybe this is 4 pounds worth of data. And mm-hmm. then decide, let's see, today's Tuesday. What's tomorrow going to look like? And how are you going to react to that data? Are you going to, you know, go in the bathroom and cry next to the scale? Are you going to say, you know what, tomorrow, it's not 64 ounces of water, it's 80. And it's a salad for lunch, and it's eggs for breakfast, and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know,
right.
Just go to work on it. You know, Corinne talks about going to Vegas. Sometimes she has a plan to maintain. Sometimes she has a plan to gain. Because mm-hmm. she knows that after her summer of Vegas weekends is over, she's going to be back on track. She's going to take off whatever weight she put on.
Yeah.
But she also knows that putting it on can be part of the vacation experience if that's what she decides is okay. Right.
That's what I had listened to. I had actually listened to her talking about Vegas. And she said, do you want to lose, maintain, or gain? Mm-hmm. She said, and she kind of guesstimates that the one I listened to, a few I listened to, that with a few drinks and those nachos and whatever, that she knows that there will be a gain. And that really helped me out to know that I didn't have to feel deprived, but I knew that maintaining probably, because I'm at the point with maintaining where we talk about those small meals, and that's been a realization for me that I need to eat those very small portions now with where I am to lose. Mm-hmm. So those portions grew a little bit as the trip went on. Yeah. And they were very, it's restaurant food, so of course it's salty.
Sure. And if you can look at it without, you know, without a mental beatdown and say, yeah, right. You know, I probably did overeat. Now I'm back on track. I bet that 4 pounds comes off pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot of stress behind it. You don't have a lot of anxiety behind it or regret or any of those emotions that absolutely solves nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I don't have regret because I know I really did, I think, the best that I could. Mm-hmm. I mean, without just eating, you know, fruit and salad every minute, which I mostly did.
Yeah.
Without the drink in my hand or without, you know, sorbet, because you're thinking, oh, that's fine. I never have that stuff.
Yeah.
But I knew that I could eat 2 to 2, and that's basically what I did do. So that helped quite a bit. Yeah. But it was just seeing that number, and I was like, oh, I worked so hard to never see that number again. And then when I saw it on the scale, I was like, oh, here we go. Like, here's back to my self-sabotage kind of, you know.
And that's the choice you get to make. Are you going to self-sabotage, or are you just going to get back on plan and do your work?
Yeah, I'm back on. I'm doing my work.
I mean, okay, you took a minute, you whined a little bit, you sat in the diaper for a minute.
Yeah.
And keep sitting there, or you can decide, you know, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm back to work, right? Because you know how to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. You know, it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really been like mind-blowing. And, you know, and of course, my relatives who saw me, they were like, what happened to you? And I'm like, you know, this is great. And it was so funny today because I was putting a picture from our cruise into a picture frame, and behind it was a cruise from a few years ago with my photo, which I shared with my accountability group, and they couldn't believe it. I mean, I looked like I was so much heavier.
Yeah.
So I navigated this, and that was probably a 10-pound gain, you know. So, no, I navigated it, and, you know, thanks to PMP, it was, like, wonderful that, you know, that I could eat well on the ship. And, you know, and it's also eye-opening to see how many people, you know, really need to be on PMP. Like, that was just quite a wake-up call.
It really shows you how far you've come.
It does.
Right.
It really has. And I appreciate it. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I'm back on. I'm in.
Back on.
I had 3 pounds to Queen's Club. So now I have 7, but I'm going to do it.
I bet if you do the work, those 4 pounds won't be hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So all right. See you. All righty. Bye bye. All right, Tommy Jane, let's do you real quick. Hey.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Okay. So thank you for taking me. When I heard you say that you didn't have anybody at 5:30,
I know.
And or that hands weren't raised, I was like, oh, ooh, I should get on. So sorry. I like tried to position myself. But I wanted to know if you could help me with thought work. So I did a model while I was waiting. Mm-hmm. So I have been on vacation since July 5th.
Okay.
I live in the city and I work across the street from a big park.
Okay.
And so I work like 2 blocks away from like the office is just two blocks away.
Okay.
And so I took my dog over to go walk him, and I ran into a couple of my coworkers while I was over at the park walking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were just catching up. And so my coworkers were talking about, you know, it's budget time and some of the meetings, and we got a new org, an org chart email, which I have not gone on into my email. And so I had literally had a visceral reaction when we were talking. My job can be very stressful. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, in my circumstance for my unintentional model, mm-hmm. my circumstance, I wrote, ran into coworkers.
Okay.
My feeling. Oh, and then I just wrote, wrote and then talked.
Okay.
My thought for my unintentional was the budget. And instantly, I work in IT. And so I work for healthcare, a large healthcare organization. And so I'm not a clinical person, I'm in IT. And so usually when we're talking like budgets, you know, those are the departments that get cut. You know, they're not going to cut nurses and doctors, mm-hmm. you know, radiologists, they're going to mm-hmm. cut, you know. So, and then I started thinking, okay, outsourcing. My feeling was scared and anxious. And honestly, my action, like when I had that, like the visceral reaction, like I felt like my blood went cold. And mm-hmm. so then, plus two, I haven't been at work since the 5th. So I was talking to them, and like, they were stressed out because they were at the park going for a walk. A lot of my coworkers walk at the park just to get away, you know, mm-hmm. and I thought, man, screw this. So like, I'm stopping up at the pizza place and getting pizza. Me and Charlie are going to go get my dog, are going to get mm-hmm. pizza. And then my action was want to eat. Like, I wanted to just forget about this mm-hmm. conversation. And then the result was weight gain. So then when I did my intentional model, my C ran into coworkers, caught up on the office, talks of budget, thought neutral is what I would like to have.
So that would be the feeling. The feeling.
Oh, dang it. Okay. I put, for my feeling, I put peace.
Which do you want? Do you want to be neutral, or do you want to be feel peaceful?
Either one. Either one would be good.
All right. Let's put peaceful then.
Okay.
Or calm. How about calm?
Yeah.
Because calm is kind of the opposite of anxious, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then my action would be, I would just carry on with my day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the result, weight loss. So I did not stop and get the pizza after we talked. Like, I hopped off the Zoom call, mm-hmm. and then, you know, we finished talking, and then, I got back on the Zoom call. I went home, finished the Zoom call, or, you know, was still listening. So I still have not eaten. I have not gone off plan.
Mm-hmm.
And drink some water, but my head is like pounding. So I would just, I know it's just all thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I wanted to see if you could help me on.
So this is really interesting. You described, and probably didn't even realize it, how anxiety feels in your body. Your head yes. pounds, you have this yep. visceral reaction. You know, your whole body tenses up, your heart races. That's what anxiety feels like.
Well, I take medication for anxiety.
Yeah. Well, but that's how anxiety feels to yep. me too. I mean,
yep. oh, yeah. Oh yeah, you're right.
I'm not medicated, but that's how anxiety feels. Okay. Yeah. So when you feel anxious, you can, uh-huh. I put down, you consider eating and you yep. worry, right?
Yep.
And the result of this is, there's really no, peaceful, mindful resolution in your mind, right?
Right. Because resolution. When they were talking,
you
like
just
I was
pretty much sit there and feel anxious.
Yeah. Right. And then I started thinking, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to get fired. Yeah. I'm 51. Right. Oh my God. I need to eat some pizza. Spot.
Right. Right. Pizza will fix this. Right.
Yes.
So, but that's not where you want to be. That's not the result you want. You don't want to create the worry spiral, right? You don't want to be in this anxiety driven state. You haven't even read the email, for heaven's sake, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So what result do you want to create?
I want to create that I run into my coworkers all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that it is budget time right now.
Okay.
And just to, you know, let them vent. You know, they were just coming out of the office, and just remain neutral, remain peaceful, you know, and there's no guarantee on anything. And logically, I know that, you know, I've been at the organization for 17 years. I like my job, you know, so like, meanwhile, counteract those things. Those are the things that I will tell myself. Just calm down. Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay. You're okay. You know.
So the result basically is, if you haven't, when do you go back to work?
The 29th.
The 29th. So you go back on Monday.
Yeah.
Are you going to check this email before Monday?
Probably. And all it is just the org, who we report to, and it's at a very high level.
Oh, so somebody is disaster planning the heck out of this then.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yes. So I'm going to guess that you really don't want to respond to someone else's disaster planning.
No. Right? No. And then like the analyst, and I'm an analyst, so the individual analysts, mm-hmm. we're not listed by names. It's mm-hmm. just basically would say like analyst group A reports to mm-hmm. supervisor, manager, blah, blah, blah.
And this is a pretty common thing.
Yes.
All right. So there's your thought. This happens all the time.
Yes. Every year.
This happens every year. I'm going to be calm about it because that's what I'm going to choose. I'm going to go to work on Monday. I'm going to assess the situation. Then I'll make some decisions. And okay. The result is that you don't have an anxiety attack between now and Monday, because you can take comfort in knowing that this happens every year. Right?
Yeah.
You get this kind of email every year. Do people get laid off every year?
No.
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 No. So you can choose whether or not to react to someone else's disaster planning. Right?
Does it get to a point in our thought work where that's not the first thing that we think, like pizza, pizza, pizza? I mean, for me, pizza is my all-time favorite uh-huh. thing. That's like the...
Have you heard me talking about the donuts tonight? You know, it's funny. You know, you may always think about the pizza, and you may not.
Okay. Okay.
It doesn't mean it's hard because you thought about the pizza. It just means that's your right. habit. It just means, you know, that's the first thing you've always done. So why not? Right.
Yeah.
It could be that your brain shoots at you, pizza would be good right now. And then you say, yep, let's go have some. Or you say, yeah, pizza would be good, but that's not going to solve this. I think I'll just go read the email and make my own decisions about it. Or
yes.
I'm going to deal with this on Monday because I'm going back to work then. You know, you get to choose how you deal with it, whether you read the email, whether you just decide you're not going to, or whether you eat pizza. Your brain is going to suggest one of those things, maybe all three. But the
right.
thing is, they're all suggestions.
Okay.
Right? They're options.
Yeah.
And you get to decide yep. with this part of your brain, the logical part, the one that you want to use to stay calm with, how you going to react?
Yeah. Okay, because it's the whole fight or flight part of my brain that's saying pizza, pizza, pizza.
Right.
But this right. calming part of my brain can say, and I don't have to necessarily fight it and have have the, I can say, like, I've heard you and Corinne talk about this in podcasts mm-hmm. and other coaching calls where I can just say like, okay, yes, I thought I yeah. hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like Corinne saying, did you hear the podcast where she said for 16 years now, she's had this thought, he's going to leave you. Chris is going to leave
yes.
you.
Yeah.
He's not going to leave her. If you could see the right. two of them together, have you been to camp? Have you met him? You haven't.
No.
He comes no, but to I'm camp and it is obvious how much he loves her.
Oh.
How much he adores her. He is not going anywhere. Yet she still has this thought. He's
yeah.
gonna, you know, he's going to leave you. Well, yours is, you know, pizza would fix this. And you could say,
yeah.
Is that really the truth? Is pizza going to fix this? No. Okay.
No.
Thanks for your input. I think I'll just do a model instead, you know, because that's what'll fix it. Retraining okay. your brain is what's going to fix this.
Right? Okay. Yes.
Does that help?
It helps a lot.
Good.
I'm so thankful for you and thankful that the coaching call and I didn't go to the pizza place.
I'm glad you didn't go to the pizza place too, because then you'd still be stewing. You'd still be over here with this.
Yep.
No peaceful, mindful resolution worry spiral result, right?
Yes.
And maybe you still might worry.
Okay.
About that, and that's your habit, and that's okay too. Just know that you don't have to react yep. with eating. You can decide how you're going to, what you're going to do with it. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too.
See
have
ya.
A good night.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. I'm going to sign off. You guys have a good evening. I'll see anything in the Q&A, so I'm out. See y'all. Bye.